Such an honor to be here, Pastor Drew. Can we just give it up for your pastor? And Shayla, give it up for your youth pastor. Come on, this is a selfless position where they are laborers in the kingdom of God. They're sold out. Thank you for your yes, your obedience to the kingdom of God, allowing me to be behind this pulpit. It's a privilege, it's an honor. So thank you so much, Shayla. Thank you. This is my new friend right here. I'm excited. She carries such a fire. But you know what's crazy? I tell people that platforms are built by people's opinions, but pulpits are built by God's word. How many believe that? I just want to share my testimony for those who don't know who I am, and then I want to share my heart, share the heart of God, and we'll have an altar call. I'll get out of your way, and we'll let God do what only he can do. Amen. Well, my name is Matt Cruz. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. Any PKs in the house? Come on, just a couple. He's right here. I'm a PK. I'm a pastor's kid, for those who don't know what PK stands for. I was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. I was heavily involved in ministry my entire life growing up. But I often tell people I had enough of God in my life not to enjoy the world, but I had enough of the world in my life not to enjoy God. Can anybody relate? Be transparent tonight. I knew about the God my parents served in worship, but I did not know him for myself. I also often tell people that I was the Christian where everybody knew I was a Christian inside the church, but nobody knew I was a Christian outside the church. I was going through the motions. I was very complacent, lukewarm. I had apathy in my life, never read this Bible, never had a prayer life, was never connected to this God that I thought I knew. When I was 18 years old, I worked for, since my junior year in high school, I was involved in law enforcement. I was a cadet at this police department in my town. When I turned 18, I became a CSO officer. It's right under a cop. So I had my whole life set before me. Anybody else just know, you know what you're going to do till you retire. You know what, and nobody in here. Just leave me hanging out. It's all right. Thank you, brother in the back. One guy. I had my whole life set. I wanted what I wanted to do. Resigned from the police department, tried to enlist into the Marine Corps, the military, go to boot camp here in San Diego. My oldest brother was a Marine. And one moment, this desire, I mean, I was obsessed with the military, obsessed with the Marines. I watched every video they had on YouTube. I was ready to go in there. I was ready to become a U.S. Marine, go through the crucible, go through boot camp, come out and just live life. And then one moment, God showed up. You know, have you ever, anybody here have a desire to have an obsession with Jesus? I was so, come on, brother. I was so obsessed with everything else. But when you have an obsession with Jesus, he will step in and say, the plans I have for you are far more greater than the plans that you have for yourself. I wanted to do what I wanted. If we could turn this mic up just a little bit more, just some gain. And God came in and wrecked my plans before my plans wrecked me. Somebody better say amen right there. You better be glad he stepped in and changed me from the inside out. So this desire to go to the military, I'm going to preach in a minute, but I just want to share this. This will bless somebody. I had this desire, and God just completely took this desire out of me, placed his desire in me. And one moment in my basement, the Holy Ghost showed up and changed me and marked me forever. Anybody have just an encounter with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit where you know you are never the same again? I was in my basement one night, and God highlighted the scripture to me, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Come on, somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit came upon me in my basement, I received power. I received this holy boldness and this confidence and this courage to not do what I wanted to do, but to do what God has called me to do, to step in my destiny and my purpose. Are you with me? So this experience I had, I got filled. I mean, and listen, when the Holy Spirit invades the life of a believer, there's always evidence. How many believe that? I got filled with the language of heaven. I received my own prayer language, magnifying God, speaking in mysteries, praying what God wants to do on the earth. And the best part about the language of the Spirit is the devil can't understand what you're saying. That's why I love when we come in the house of God and we praise and worship and we lift up our hands. You're making the devil so mad. Why? Because how many know that he was a worship leader in heaven? And he got kicked out of heaven. So when you praise and you worship and you're lifting up your hands, you're actually reminding him of what he once lost. So I'm excited tonight because Jesus is a name above every other name. And the Bible says that every knee will bow at that name and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So if you're in here and you need a healing, you need a breakthrough, you need a touch from the Lord, I'm telling you, you're in the right place tonight because the healer is here, the deliverer is here. And there's breakthrough and freedom for you. Buddha didn't save me. Pastor Mary didn't save me. Nobody saved me but the name of Jesus. That's the only name that healed me, delivered me, called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is there anybody else thankful that this God that we serve has transferred you out of darkness into light and he's marked you with boldness? So this happened to me. I had this radical encounter. Long story short, I started going out. I'm the youngest of five. There's five of us in my family. I come from a family of preachers. And I told my parents, you will never see me preach because this is not my thing. Pastor, I told my parents, it's out of my comfort zone. But God, how many believe he wants us to get comfortable being uncomfortable? Because on the other side of your comfort zone is your calling, praise God. And so when I got filled, I stepped into my call. And next thing you know, I'm preaching the gospel on the street corners and grocery stores. I'll share some testimonies with you tonight. So many people have gotten healed just on the streets. Not what Matt can do, but what Jesus can do. Only what he alone is capable of doing. It's not us. The Bible says that we've got the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in us. We've got the power of God. In other words, greater is he who lives in me, who lives in you, than he who is in the world. You've got the power of God in you. What are you saying, Matt? You've got the cure to cancer. You've got the cure to anxiety. You've got the cure to every tormenting spirit that torments your mind in your life. You can torment that spirit by the power of God that lives in you. You got the power in you. So I started going out. I said, man, I've got this Jesus I serve. And my heart my heart aches for all the people who do not know him. His presence is revealing. It's the pure light of God that pierces a man. And when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you can then begin to allow the light of Christ to shine through you everywhere you go. I was in the Walmarts. People thought I was sponsored by Walmart because I'm in there all the time. And I'm sharing Jesus. It's just because it's close to my house. And Chicago gets really cold, so I'm trying to, you know, evangelize it indoors. And I'm inside of these Walmart stores, and I've seen so many atheists, Hindus, Muslims, and we love everybody no matter what they believe in. I have respect. I love everybody. I often tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ is an announcement, not an argument. Come on, somebody. You share it, not shove it. So I'm not one of those, you know, people downtown, they're holding up signs, say repent or go to hell. That is not effective at all. That's a horrible method to reach people. But we've got to share the love of God. The love of God. People need to experience his love. It's like, for example, somebody who's got a nicotine addiction, they're smoking cigarettes, and they know that they're not doing something right. They know what they're doing is wrong. And us believers, we're not just called to go up to them and say, repent, you're not supposed to be smoking cigarettes. They know that if you give them Jesus and they encounter Jesus, they cannot deny Jesus. And when they encounter God, they're not going to want to smoke anymore. So it's all about giving Jesus to people and saying, do you know this man with fire in his eyes? It's the only one who could save your soul. Come on, he's the breath of life. He's the captain of salvation. So when you begin to love on people, love them where they're at, not beat them up over the head with the Bible, but you say, man, I know somebody who can save your life, and you begin to share with them. Well, God, because witnessing is not showing what you can do for God. It's showing and telling what God has already done for you. Can't grow your faith inside of your comfort zone. You got to go beyond your boundaries. And so the experience that I had of getting filled with the Holy Spirit in my basement, it wasn't just something that happened to me, but it's something that can work through me. Are you with me? This encounter that we, it's one, friend, one moment. All it takes is one moment for God to show up, one encounter, and he will change you from the inside out. He's the only one that turns bondage into freedom, light into darkness, sin into salvation. Only this man named Jesus. So when I got filled, it was an experience that not just, it's not just this thing that happened to me, but it's something that works through me in the public place, everywhere that we go. And can I just say it, Pastor? Casual believers don't produce power. We gotta connect to the power source. I often tell people as well, this cell phone that I have, I can look up all types of facts on Google. I can connect with people at home. I can connect with people online that live on the other side of the world. But if this phone is not connected to a power source, it's useless. Can we go here for a second? And may I submit to you that our lives are a lot like this cell phone? If we're not connected to the power source in our lives, are useless and worthless. But if we're connected to the power source, he will deposit his power in us so that when we go out to witness and we go out on our everyday lives, it's the lifestyle of Christianity. It becomes normal to share Jesus with people. It becomes normal to see healings and people getting delivered and people getting filled with the Holy Spirit in grocery stores. Why? Because evangelism is your relationship with God on display in the public. Are you hearing me? Everywhere that you go, you can live in such a way where people who don't know him but know you will come to know him because they know you. Because you're walking in a way where you're reflecting the light of Christ. And they say, I don't know what you got, but I want the source of what you have. There's something different about this person. I don't know what it is, but there's a light about them. There's something unique. And God wants everybody to walk in this. You've got to rise up today. So I want to share a little bit about having character that matches your calling, having the character of Jesus, your character reflecting his character. Anybody want to have the character of Christ? Anybody want to walk like Jesus? It's this character that produces change in your life. So I believe the church today has done a great disservice. We've said, come to church, accept Jesus, and continue to live as you want to live. Continue to live as you've been always living. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptizing them in the name of Jesus. You got to understand, Jesus said to go out and make disciples. And with so many of us, we're so caught up in doing what we want to do. And we hear a lot of times, like, what would Jesus do? But I believe in the church, we have to adopt a purpose statement of what does Jesus want me to do, not what would Jesus, what does he want me to do? I want to walk in my anointing. There's purpose and destiny on each and every one of our lives, but sometimes we don't want to go into the narrow path that God has willed for our lives. We want God, but we want him on our terms. Can I be honest tonight? Can we be transparent? This was me growing up. I was a casual believer. I wasn't walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I claimed to know God, but by my actions, I denied him. Can anybody relate in this place? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. And I believe it's all about coming under God's authority, his direction, his leadership, and purpose for our lives. It's not about fitting God into who I am and what I want, but following Jesus into who and what he wants me to be. And throughout the Bible, we see this important truth told again and again. The Holy Spirit releases his power. You got to hear me tonight. He releases his power the moment you acknowledge that God's way is right and we repent of our sin. See, the devil wants you to live in sin, but God wants you to live in repentance. Somebody say repentance. I don't know about you, but every day of my life, I want to say, God, create in me a pure heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Intensify the conviction of spending time with you. I want to develop an appetite of spending time in the presence of God. Matt, what is the secret? I'll tell you the secret. The secret is a secret place. When you get in that place, that's when God begins to mold you and equip you and burn things out of you that's not like him. Is there anybody in this place that says, Matt, I need God to pull some things out of me. I need him to mold me and equip me. But Matt, I want that, but I'm just a little bit inadequate. I don't feel qualified. I feel unqualified, in fact. I feel like I'm not good enough to witness. I'm not as bold as you are. I don't got that boldness and that courage. Well, friend, I want to let you know tonight that every Christian, every person that's got the Holy Spirit living in you, if the Holy Ghost made his home inside of you, you are anointed to proclaim the good news. I'm not bold, brother. I can't do that. Listen, it doesn't matter what you think. We're all called to witness. We're all called to evangelize. And I'm just going to say it again because I'm already up here. I got the mic. Praise God. Christians love evangelism as long as somebody else is doing it. They love evangelism as long as somebody else is doing it. But I want to tell you with the love of God and the conviction in my heart that there's people out there hurting. There's people out there that are on their way to hell every single day that don't know Jesus. But we've got the answer living in us, the creator of creation. And all it takes is one moment for you to open your mouth and start a conversation that really matters and say, do you know who he is? Just a couple hours ago, I was on my way to the barbershop. I took an Uber from where I was staying. And in the Uber, it was this lady there, and as she dropped me off, I'm ministering to her before I get out of the car, and I begin to ask her, I said, ma'am, do you have any pain in your body that I can pray for? She looks at me like I'm crazy and says, I do. I have pain in my right shoulder. I said, you mind if I lay my hand on your shoulder and pray with you? I believe there's power in prayer. There's power in the name of Jesus. So she said, of course. I pray. I lay my hands on her shoulder. I say, Father, I thank you right now for your daughter. I thank you for this opportunity to pray with her. I just command every bit of pain to leave now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, for the power that's in the name of Jesus to flow right now. I'm opening my eyes. As I open my eyes, she's looking at me like her eyes are big. And I'm saying, so, ma'am, what do you feel? And she's looking at me like just sitting there. And I'm like, you got to listen. You have to open up your mouth. I have a haircut appointment here. And she's sitting there. She's like, this is amazing. In the Uber. And I'm sitting, I'm like, what is it that you're feeling? She said, I feel a heat in my shoulder. And I said, well, the Bible says we serve a God who answers by fire. And the fire symbolizes his glory, his cleansing, his power. So what that fire is that you're feeling, ma'am, is God burning out everything that's not like him. So in the vehicle, she looks at me. She said, Matt, I had two surgeries on my rotator cuff. I tore it. But I said, not anymore. You just got a whole nother surgery. Praise God. The Holy Ghost just came in. I said, forget about this surgery. You got. She's moving it around. She wouldn't even let me leave the car because she's so amazed. Ma'am, it's not me. It's the God inside of me. Because he longs for you to know him. He wants everybody to be healed, delivered, and set free. He wants us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to manifest him everywhere that we go. Because it's in those moments that hurting people. See, people out there are waiting on what God called you to do. Oh, but Matt, I'm afraid of what can go wrong. Stop being afraid of what can go wrong and start getting excited about what can go right. You got, oh man, I'm just afraid. No, get excited about what can go right. What's the worst thing that can happen? Nothing. So what is it? What is it going to hurt you to just step out in faith and say, do you know Jesus? Do you have any pain in your body? I serve the healer. I serve the great physician. I serve the deliverer. Is there anybody with me tonight? Sorry, I came with my own amen. I don't know about you, but I want people, every person that I interact with to be changed and marked by me interacting with them, because I want everybody to know, do you know this man? Are you born again? Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? Because I don't know if this might be your last day. People say we're living in the last days. I believe it. And whether or not it is the last days, I know that it's somebody's last day. So that's enough for me to preach the gospel with urgency to say, friend, you got to know him. You've got to know him. And it's not that people are saying, man, I've got to next week and I've got next month and next year to be saved. I'm going to go to church when I get it right. No, you don't wait till you get it right to go to God. You come to God and he'll make things right. We don't come in here. Listen, we don't come in the house of God and worship him because he needs it. We worship him because we need it. We don't come in here because we have it together. We come in here because we need to get it together. Come on, somebody. So it's not next week, a year, a man drowning in a river needs to be saved right now, not tomorrow. So there's people drowning in their everyday lives, and they need to be saved now. Somebody say now. They need him right now. They need him right now. God's calling the shots, and we just have to give up and let go of what we want to do and start doing what he says to do. And I believe that was the difference between the disciples and the Pharisees in the Word of God, because the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John in Luke 7:30. In other words, they would not repent, and they rejected coming under his authority and his purpose for their life. And now as disciples of Jesus Christ, which we all in here desire to grow in. We need to live in repentance and take hold of God's purpose for our life. We must be committed to coming under His authority. What am I saying? He is in control, and when He's in control, nothing is ever out of control. See, when you allow God to be in the driver's seat, He will steer your path and guide you and guard you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall do what? Direct your path. So it's coming under His authority and saying, God, You are in control of my life. You are in charge. And I'm afraid that many religious church-going people today are like Pharisees and experts in the law. They reject God's purpose for their lives. They let God in just enough to comfort and help them, but not enough to change them. Can I say that again? They let God in enough to comfort and help them, but not enough to cause them to change. I don't know about you, church, but I want real transformation in my life. I want God to change me. God, if there's anything in my life that's not like You, I want to examine my heart and say, God, remove it. I want to walk with You. I don't want nothing, everything that's hindering me from stepping and catapulting me into my destiny. I want it out of my life. In other words, I'm tired of hanging around with the same friends that all they want to do is talk about nonsense, watching the same thing on Netflix, spending more time on Netflix than in the presence of God. I tell people all the time, one moment, one night in my room, I was scrolling through my social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Come on, we've all got it in this place. For hours and hours, and I heard the Lord speak to me and say, Matt, I'm focused on You. Why aren't You focused on me? I don't know about you, but I like to play that game, pigeon game. You play some eight ball, cup pong. Come on, somebody. Archery. We can be real tonight. If you don't, we'll get delivered at the altar in just a moment. But I'm on my phone, and I'm playing this game, pigeon game. And I hear the Lord tell me in my room, when are You going to stop playing that game and start pursuing Me? Okay, we could be real tonight. God, He enjoys our presence more than we enjoy His presence. And sometimes we go to God because we want something. And don't get me wrong, I believe we need to be challenged in order to be changed. So I'm coming here, I'm preaching to myself. This was me growing up. So God, He wants us to get into the presence of God, not to just seek Him, but to be with Him. Not just to go there and say, God, this is what I need, and I need a miracle in my life. I need a financial abundance, and that's great. He'll give it to you, and He'll bless you. But when are we going to get into the Word until the Word gets in us? When are we going to get into the secret place just to spend time with God? A lot of us claim to have relationship with Jesus, but not many of us, if we could be honest, prioritize fellowship time with Jesus. I want to fellowship with God to where my heart reflects His, and I want to share the heart of God. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk like Him. I want Him to speak through me. Is there anybody that agrees in here? God's ultimate purpose for our lives is not comfort, but character development. He wants us to grow up spiritually and become like Christ. And I believe that becoming like Christ does not mean losing our personality. Don't get me wrong. God created each of us uniquely, and He doesn't want to destroy that. Christ-likeness is all about transforming our character to reflect His character. And throughout the New Testament, we see the kind of character that God wants to produce in us. And every time we forget that character is one of God's main purposes for our lives, we will become frustrated by life's circumstances. You'll say things like, why is this happening to me, or I'm having such a difficult time, or this isn't fair. It's the Holy Spirit's job to produce Christ likeness in you. I don't know about you, but I always spent more time with the world than with God. And when you feel defeated and you feel like you're weary and you have anxiety and all these things, friend, that is a sign and a red flag that you're spending less time with God and more time with the world. I don't want to please my flesh and not spend less time with Him than pleasing my flesh. I want to be in the presence of God and allow Him to change me and deliver me. Is this making sense to somebody in this place? He owes you nothing but gives you everything. So why not give your all to Him? We have to surrender to the one who changes everything. He wants to know us, and He wants us to know Him.
2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." We cannot produce the character of Jesus on our own. I want you to hear me. That's what these religious leaders tried to do. Listen, New Year's resolutions, willpower, best intentions are not enough. It requires coming under his authority and direction, and that requires repentance, and that God's way is right, and I no longer want to reject his purpose for my life. Paul said, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me." I don't know about you, but I want Christ to live in me. I want me to get out of the way so God can move in my heart. I want him to speak through me and to use me for his glory. And this is not something you have to muster up, because it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose, as Philippians 2:13 says. And throughout the Bible, we see this important truth illustrated again and again, that the Holy Spirit releases his power the moment we take a step of faith. When Joshua was faced with an impossible barrier, the floodwaters of the Jordan, he did what God told him to do by stepping into the rushing current, the word of God says, in obedience and faith. When are we going to rise up and step out in faith? And in obedience and say, "God, do what you got to do with my life. I no longer want to be in control, but I want you to use me. I want you to have your way in my life, because I can't do it on my own." When you begin to give him your heart, he can take better care of it than you can. We give a heart to so many people and other things except the one who created us. We set out time for things that please us instead of the one who died for us. We like to set out time for everybody else except the one who died for us. What are you saying, Matt? We have to develop an appetite to start getting connected to the power source. Start getting connected to God again. Start developing a prayer life. Friend, when is the last time we got on our face before a holy God? When is the last time that we realized how big he is and how little we are? When is the last time that we realize how much we need him and how little he needs us? When have we humbled ourselves and have a posture of humility and say, "God, you're the one who can do it. I can't do it on my own." He's the only one. It's all about cooperating with God through the Holy Spirit, agreeing that his way is right, and then stepping out and beginning to do it. And as we do, God will begin to part our waters like he did in that book in the Bible. And I want to tell you that people want Jesus all the time. They say, "Man, I want Jesus in my life," but they're not willing to pay the price. When are we going to pay the price? When are we going to, can I just be real tonight? Is this making sense? I want somebody to tell me the truth with love, because this was my life growing up. Did not know him. I knew about him. And when you begin to know Jesus and you begin to just sit in his presence, he'll pull behind from every Christian the masks that they have on, and he'll show you who you really are. I don't know about you, but I want him to reveal who I really am, and I want him to mold me into who he's called me to be. I want to be all that he's called me to be. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian any longer. I don't want to be a compromising Christian. I don't want to make him sit through my compromise. I don't want to make him sit through my complacency. The times that we're living in today, we need on fire Holy Spirit-filled believers that would rise up and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need people who are a part of this remnant in this generation that God is raising up, that's saying, "Matt, I'm an enlisted soldier in the army of the living Savior. I, Matt Cruz, wanted to enlist into the army, but God said, I've got better plans. You're going to be enlisted in my army, dutifully obeying my marching orders." See, I wanted to do that, but God said, "I want you to do this, because when you're a part of this, it will change your life." People need what you carry. But I'm weak, Matt. The devil attacks you when you're hungry and thirsty. That's why we got to get into the word. This right here is meat right here. This is the word of God. It's alive and active. We need the word of God in our life. If people say, "Matt, I just can't do it." Every day is an opportunity to either strengthen your relationship with God or neglect it. What are you saying? Our rate of growth is determined by what we feed our spirit. What are we feeding our spirit? What are we allowing in our life? The Bible says, "Let us throw off everything and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." The Bible says this, and we've got to go by it.
He wants us to be free, man. He wants us to break free and stay free, not to keep falling in the same repetitive cycles of sin, but to experience true freedom. Oh, but I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. So in this place, when we have an altar call in just a few moments, whatever it is in your life that you know is holding you back from walking with the Lord, you got to release it tonight, and you got to say, God, take it out of me and renew me. Create a clean heart in me. God, give me a right spirit. God, I approach your throne of grace with boldness so that I might obtain mercy and find grace in my time of need. Is anybody with me in this place? And we got to get back to this word. Our purpose is to turn away from what we want and step into God's purpose for us in Christ. I believe that we got to take out the trash. Ephesians 4:22 says, then we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, has to go. It's rotten through and through. I believe tonight that we've got to get rid of some things. If you have things or activities or behaviors or attitudes in your life that's hindering you, that are detrimental and contrary to God's will, you got to get rid of them. They are nothing but trouble. You got to hear me. We got to start changing the way that we think. We must begin to let go of some old routines and begin to develop some new habits and intentionally change the way that we think and put on the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's his purpose. I'm telling you, we got to put on the character of Christ. Ephesians 4:23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's in Christ that you're given a new life. The old life is dead, and you have now a brand new chance, and we've got to take hold of it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature where old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We got to let go of some things, friend. We got to start walking in who God has called us to be. Are you with me? We got to let go of some things. All this takes us repenting, not wanting to do it your way, but doing it God's way. And I'm telling you, it really comes down to who's the boss, who's in control, who's in charge of your life. Jesus is in charge of my life. I want him to do everything he wants to do in me. God, just do it all. Do what pleases you. Oh, but I want my desires. Listen, the Bible does say if you delight in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But what that scripture actually means is that when you delight in him, he'll place his desires in your heart, and you're going to get it because it's what God wants. Is there anybody that wants what God wants in this place? We must be committed to following his direction. I'm almost through. God uses his word and people and circumstances to mold us. You might have gone through something. You might have gone astray from the Lord, but you're never too lost to be saved. You're never too dirty for God to clean. Nothing that you confess to him will ever make him love you any less. You got to lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. But man, I'm scared. I'm messed up and I'm running away from God. Friend, that's when you need to run toward God. Don't skip the secret place because you slipped up. Run back to Jesus and allow him to clean you up and say, I've been waiting for you. The prodigal son in the book of Luke, man, when he found out that he did everything he could and it wasn't good enough, he said, I'm going to go back home to my father and his servants and my family. On his way back home, the father was there standing with open arms. He didn't say, son, go to your room, you're grounded. He just said, I'm glad you're home again. You were lost, but you couldn't see, but now you can see again. I'm telling you that God is not mad at you. You probably heard somebody say it. He's madly in love with you. He's waiting for you to come back in his arms and allow him to change you, man. He wants all of you. Sadly, many Christians grow older but never grow up. They're stuck in a perpetual infancy. But the reality is, I'm telling you, that they never intended to grow up. Why? Because like the Pharisees and the experts in the law, they rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not repented. I don't want to go on every day knowing that I have not repented and God has not put a clean heart in me. I want him to wash me and cleanse me from all my iniquities. What are you saying? Growth is not automatic. It takes intentionality. It takes an intentional commitment. You must want to grow. You must have a desire and decide and make an effort to grow. Discipleship is all about the process of becoming like Jesus, and that always begins with the decision to be committed. Now, in order to have this character of transformation, we need to know who and what we are aiming for. I'm telling you, Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. If we want to become a disciple of Jesus, I'm trying to get this all out, praise God. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, this word must become a priority in your life. It must become the compass by which you rely on for direction. This word of God must become a priority in our life. This Bible is more than just a doctrinal guidebook. It's spiritual nourishment, and we must have it to fulfill a purpose. But in order for it to accomplish its purpose and to transform our life, we must be willing to accept its authority in our life. And this is the difference between, I'm just going to say it, a churchgoer and a disciple of Jesus. Friend, I don't want to be just a churchgoer. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to follow him. If you desire to become a disciple of Jesus, then this thing must become a priority. You may not like or even fully agree with it, but that's not the point. Either God's word is everything in your life or it's not. Ask yourself, what is God saying to me? Will I trust his word and do it whether or not it makes sense or whether I feel like it? Are you going to obey him? Are you going to do what he's called you to do? So many of us are like Jonah and we run away from our call. We got to come back home, man. Come back, man. You know, there's some pastors and teachers and evangelists and some prophets, apostles, and pastors in this place. And you know God is raising you up, but you're just stuck in your own lane. And God's calling you out of that thing, and he wants to raise you up. But are you going to give him your yes tonight? Are you going to step on in faith? Are you going to rise up and say, I am who God says I am? It's not enough, however, just to believe this Bible. You must be transformed by its truth. And I'm telling you, you will never get a handle on his purpose for your life if you don't become a disciple and apply the truth to your life and your circumstances. It's just not going to happen. We got to read this word. What are you saying? Walking with Jesus and not reading this word is like swimming without water. It's like swimming without water. That was my life. I grew up, did not read this book. And this thing is the only one, not books that can inform you. This is the only one that can transform you. This is the only one right here. We were talking about it last night. Me and my buddy Sammy, we were evangelizing to this group of people. And we were just telling them, like, man, this is the only book where the author is in love with the reader. You read all kinds of books, and the author don't even know who you are, doesn't even know your name, but this author knows everything about you. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. He could look, let me tell you something. He could look at a million people, yet you're the only one that he sees. He's in love with you. God, enable me to understand your word. I don't know how to read it, God, but I know that if I have the breath of the Holy Spirit to enable me to understand this, I will begin to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and I will walk this thing out, and I will hide this word in my heart so that I might not sin against him. I will never depart from this word from my mouth. Day and night, I will meditate on this word. I'm telling you, friend, when you get to this place where you allow God to be in control of your life, and he will guide you and guard you. Are you with me? Give me one more minute. God's going to teach us some things and show us things that we're going to need to repent of and to grow in when we have this altar call. And the question for each of us is whether we would reject or repent. I don't want to reject his purpose for my life. I want to repent and say, God, clean me up. Will we apply or will we deny? Each of us has an opportunity tonight, and I want us to use it. I'm telling you, we got to die to our flesh. What needs to be washed out of you? What needs to be trampled out of you? What is keeping revival out of you? I invite you to meet God at this altar. The God of the universe wants to change your situation. I'm telling you, it will cause you to be ready for revival, and that the revival that God desires to send your way. When we come up to this altar, we're going to allow the altar to alter us. We're going to examine our hearts and allow God to highlight those things in us that is not like him. And I tell people all the time, he's not doing it to condemn you. He's doing it to establish humility in you. I tell people all the time, especially young people, when God exposes the sin in your life, it's not to shame you, it's to change you. I want to be changed. I want to be delivered. God does not expose sin to shame you. He does it to change you. I'll say this and I'm through. A lot of young people in this place, you might hang out with some friends and you say, man, I just can't fit in and it's bothering me. You weren't born to fit in. You were born to stand out. I'll tell you why. You get mad. This was me. I'm preaching to my younger Matt, the younger of me, myself. And in high school, I would be going to all these parties, hanging out with people, hanging out with the raw crowd. I'm like, and people would look at me, Matt, why are you here? You look like you're just not supposed to be here. And it would bother me all the time because my mom would be praying for me. Like, she would be calling me, get out of that place right now. I don't know what you're, she just would have words of knowledge. She would know what all of us kids are. But I'm thankful for praying parents. If you're in this place, parents, you better hear me. You better stay, continue to pray for your kids, because I promise you, because of the prayers of my parents, I am standing before you today. Never stop praying for you. God is not, I said this the other night. People get so mad, like myself. I'm like, God, I feel like he's picking on me. He's not picking on you. He picked you. That's why you don't fit in, because it just doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense out of your purpose, because you weren't created to do what you wanted to do. You were created to do what God has called you to do. He did not create you for yourself, and we need to know that deep inside. Can I have everybody to stand up with me at this moment? What needs to be washed out of you? Some of you are struggling with your mind tonight. I want to let you know, never let your mind go where your spirit is not allowed. Never let your mind go where the spirit is not allowed. Oh, I'm getting these thoughts. No, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. Another translation says, do not even think about how to gratify. When you allow your mind to, when you just like you have it submit, you rule over your spirit, and you say, man, I've got the mind of Christ. I am who God says I am. The devil is going to flee. He doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. He doesn't want you to at all. But I'm just in here to encourage some people, man, let's rise up. Let's just be the daughter and the son that God has called us to be. There's people out there waiting on what he's called us to do. Every hand raised in this place, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you for each person in this place right now. Thank you that this specific group of people, God, that you have called according to your purpose, I pray, God, that you would have your way in their life and you would give them Christ-likeness, the character of Christ. That we would walk with you, God. We would be connected to you. We would have a devotional life and nurture it every day of our life. I pray, Father, that you would use them in the public place, even that they would be more committed to the secret place than the public place, that we would be committed to you, following you, doing what you've called us to do. Lord, we want more of who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God some praise. We're going to have an altar call. At this moment, can we get the worship team up? This is what we're going to do. If you're in this place, you say, Matt, that's me. What should be everybody in here? I'm responding to my first altar call. If you're in here, you say, Matt, I need that boldness, man. I just need to let go. I need to surrender. I need to give God my yes, or I just need to rededicate my life to Christ. If that's you in this place, come on, meet God at this altar right now. As the worship team comes up and sings, we're just going to cry out. We're going to sing a few songs, and we're going to allow God to change us. We're going to allow him to highlight those things in our hearts that are not of him. Come on, we're going to examine ourselves tonight. We're going to ask God to do something he's never done before. We're going to ask him to give us a fresh fire. Come on, the altar's open. Should be everybody in here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. If you've never got filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving your own prayer language, I want you to make your way up to this altar. Come on, don't be scared. Tomorrow's not promised to no man. If you want to get filled, just make your way up here and God's going to fill you tonight. The baptism of the Holy Spirit produces change. It changes your purpose in life. Come on, we can go deep tonight, but I just feel in my heart just to share his heart, share testimonies, share about character development, and just saying yes to God. Come on, make your way to this altar. Come on, the power of the Holy Spirit involves courage, boldness, insight, authority, confidence. If you want all these things, make your way to this altar. Jesus said that those who receive the Holy Spirit receive power to walk, power to witness, power to work miracles. It's the power to live like Jesus in our world. And if you want this power, come on, make your way up here. Come on, it's available to every believer who asks, and in obedience waits for him to fill you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, every hand raised up here. Come on, if you didn't respond to the altar call, come on. Lay your pride aside. Come up here and say yes to Jesus. All of us can use more of him. All of us can experience more of his power and his presence. Come on, every hand raised. As they begin to sing, you guys can start singing at any moment. Father, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would ignite a holy fire in us. We ask in the name above every other name, God, that you would mark us tonight with courage. Mark us tonight with boldness. Remove everything that's hindering me from going forth into my call. Lord, I'm asking tonight that every pet sin would be destroyed, that walls would come down, that bondages would turn into freedom tonight, God, that every person who's struggling and who is bound would receive a breakthrough in the name of Jesus, that we would fall in love with your presence and become obsessed with you. God, that just like people who are sick, it's contagious. When they touch somebody, they get sick. I pray that we would be lovesick with this man named Jesus. That everywhere we go, people, it would just be contagious. It'll just be a domino effect. It'll touch everybody. So in this moment, as they begin to sing, I want you just to examine your heart. Just talk to the Lord. Come on, just feel tonight's a little bit different than any other night. Just lift up those hands and say, God, here I am. Just begin to confess your sins to him. Come on. Confess your sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Come on. Come on, I believe there's a holy moment. Just begin to confess. Let it out. God, we confess to you our struggles, our frustrations. Come on. Come on. God wants to break you free from the spirit of depression and anxiety. Suicidal thoughts, spirit of lust, spirit of perversion. Come on, you know who you are. God wants to set you free. Come on, if you could pray in the spirit, begin to do that.